Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Jesus. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write, King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross stood Jesus. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was a day of preparation. The next day was a special Sabbath because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then the other. But when they came to Jesus, they found that he had already died, and they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones would be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was empty, they laid Jesus there. This is what Good Friday is all about. This is the reason why we are here, to come together, to remember, to meditate, and to think about the death of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, God often instructed the Israelites that at certain times of the year, they were to hold festivals to God, festivals such as the Passover or Pentecost. And at these festivals, God instructed them to do it so that they would remember, what God had done for them. So that they would remember how God had delivered them, how God had provided for them. And I think that 2,000 years later, that it is great for us to do the same thing. While God has not specifically instructed us to observe a Good Friday, I think it is very beneficial for us. Because during this time of the year, to observe these holidays, we can reflect on what Good Friday and what Easter is all about. I think it is important for us to remember this time of year, what God has done for us, what God has delivered us from, what it costs him to deliver us, and cost him it did. Good Friday, after all, is no secret that it was the last day that Jesus was on this earth. It was the day that he was betrayed and arrested and tried. It was the day that he was beaten and flogged within an inch of his life. It was so bad, in fact, that historical scholars, they think it was more than likely that his bones would have been showing, his flesh would have been hanging off his body, because the Romans were good at what they did. They were good at what they did. And if you have ever seen Passion of the Christ, you have seen a very accurate depiction of what the flogging would have looked like. But I got to tell you, in fact, they had to tone that down for the movie so that it could keep its R rating. In real life, it actually would have been even worse than we see in the movie. He was flogged and beaten within an inch of his life. He was sentenced to death falsely on false claims. He was made to carry his cross, the very cross that he would die on. He was made to carry it to the very spot that he would die on. He was nailed to that cross and stood up in the ground. And as he hangs there, struggling to breathe, as he begins to lose strength, no doubt in sheer agony, the people around watching, spectating, would ridicule him, spit on him, mock him. Soldiers would cast lots for his clothes right in front of him as he hang there dying. And after being on the cross for nearly 6 hours, he looked up to heaven and breathed his last. And by nightfall, he would be wrapped in linen and buried in a tomb. And as I reflect on the last day of Jesus, it is hard for me personally to call that day good. To call that day good. It's hard to hear the story of the crucifixion, hear what he went through, and say it was a good day. In fact, I don't think Jesus himself would have even said that was a good day. In fact, earlier that morning, as he was praying in the garden, Jesus, knowing what was going to come, knowing the agony he was going to suffer, the pain he was going to go through, would pray to God, "God, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. Let it pass from me." But he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Not my will, but yours be done. He knew the suffering he was going to endure, but he still wanted God's will to be done. And he still went to the cross. Because Jesus was here on a mission. Did you know that? He was here on a mission. He didn't just come to this earth to drop in, say, "Hey, what's up, guys?" He didn't just come to this earth to make sure that things were really as bad as they seemed. He knew that earth was as bad as it seemed. He knew that the people of earth were separated from God. And he knew that we needed a Savior. He knew that his death on the cross was the only way that mankind could be reconciled back to God. It was the only way that man could have hope of a relationship with God, with their Creator, and be restored. You see, the thing is, ever since Adam and Eve, sin has run rampant in this world. The Bible tells us from the beginning that from the very first sin, that the punishment of sin, that the debt that sin incurs is a debt of death. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin are death. That doesn't necessarily mean a physical death, although that did happen sometimes, but for sure it meant a spiritual death. It meant an eternal separation from God. And here's the thing about it. It doesn't matter if you are a good person, quote unquote. It doesn't matter if you do all the good deeds. All people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we have even committed one, we are guilty, period. And we deserve the wages, which are death. If you look in the Old Testament, you will see that God set up this thing called the sacrificial system for the Israelites. It is where they would come together and they would sacrifice animals at the altar of the tabernacle or the temple. And they would do it for their sins. And in this ritual, they would literally have to place their hand on the head of the animal. And this signified that they were transferring their sins, that their sins were being transferred to the animal. And then they would slaughter the animal and spill its blood. And this would act as a kind of covering for sin. Because where there is sin, blood must be shed. But the problem was that no animal was perfect. No animal had the power to take away sins once and for all. It could only cover sins. But God had a plan. God had a plan to provide the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice that would conquer sin once and for all, and therefore conquer its curse, which is death. God sent Jesus, and Jesus Christ stepped foot on this earth in the form of a man. He lived the perfect life. He was without sin. And that is very important, because if he had sinned, then he wasn't perfect. So he lived without sin. He went to the cross, an innocent man with no fault. And he took the punishment that we deserve. He took the death that we deserve. And we do deserve death, because we are all sinful. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? He literally became sin on the cross. And when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, the weight of all our sins was cast upon him. The weight of yours and the weight of mine. And the full wrath of God was upon him. But then he says, it is finished. It is finished. And when he says that, the wrath of God has been satisfied. And that is what makes today a Good Friday. That is the only reason that a day like today can be called good. That is the only reason that a cross, an instrument of death, one of the most evil things ever created, can be called good, because of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He died in our place, took the punishment that we deserved. And that's what Good Friday is about. But luckily, the story does not stop there. Because in 3 days, Jesus is going to come walking out of the tomb. In 3 days, he's going to rise again. And in doing so, he will show that he has finally conquered sin, that death has finally been conquered. Because in order for sin to be defeated, death also had to be defeated. And the resurrection proves that that happened. And because Jesus rose again, we don't have to be dead in our sins. We can have eternal life. We can have salvation. We can be free from the power of sin and death. Does that mean that our physical bodies won't die? Of course it doesn't. But what it does mean is that if we believe in him, if we follow him, then we can have eternal life, and we can spend eternity with God the Father in heaven. That's what Good Friday is about. That's what this whole thing is about. That the darkest day in all of history, became the brightest day in all of history. The question for us here tonight is simple on this Good Friday. It is simple. It is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you trust him with your whole heart and soul? Do you trust in the power of the resurrection? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that God rose Jesus from the grave, then we will be saved. Have you done that tonight? If not, I encourage you to make that decision, to commit your life to him. It is one of the most important things. It is the most important thing that you can ever do. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Choosing to follow him is the most important decision we can make. C.S. Lewis once said that if Christianity is false, it is of no importance. And if it is true, it is of infinite importance. Christianity is the only thing that cannot be moderately important. Just think about that for a second. This is the only thing that cannot be moderately important. We have to go all in. And if we believe in the story, if we truly believe that Jesus is a living God and our living hope, it should shape and form every part of our lives. And I think too often we get desensitized to the gospel message because we've heard it so much. I think sometimes in our minds it can lose its power. We know that it never does lose its power. But that shouldn't be, because this is the most important message. This is the most important thing any of us will ever hear, any of us will ever give our lives for, and we should treat it as such. That's why I think it is so crucial that we take time around Good Friday, around Easter, to remember the message. And hopefully that will begin to impact every part of our lives. We should take the gospel with us everywhere. In a moment, we're going to have a time of communion. Communion was one of the last things that Jesus did with his disciples. It was during the Last Supper, and Jim will be talking about that on Sunday, I believe. But he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup, saying, "This is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." When we take communion, we are identifying with the Lord's death until he comes. And he is coming again. We are making an outward expression of what we believe inside. And during this song, Ange and Ron are going to sing a song. I ask that you reflect on the fact that Jesus' body was indeed broken for you. Reflect on the fact that his body was poured out for you. And reflect on what that costs him. And reflect on what it means for your life. During the song, you can come up at any time and grab communion, and you are free to take it on your own. If you are unable to come up, please raise your hand and an usher will make sure that you get the bread and the cup. I want to close tonight by reading a passage of scripture in Isaiah 53. It says, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of the ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." Amen. Like I said, during the song, feel free to come up at any time, and let us be people that remember what the cross costs. Let us be people that remember the importance of the resurrection. We are called to take this message to the people. We are called to be sharers of the good news, and it is the good news that Jesus came, that he died for you and me, but also that he rose again, and he did rise again. He is living now. He is living today. And he is coming back again. Amen. Please stand. Amen. It is his mercy. in his mercy, we did not get the punishment that we deserved. And in his grace, we got what we don't deserve, which is everlasting life. Everlasting life for those that believe in him. Amen. We're going to go into a time of worship, a couple more worship songs. And I just ask you to focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what this cross meant, what it accomplished. And remember that he rose again. He rose again. Amen. Please stand with me. If you haven't taken communion yet, you could take it at any time during the next couple songs. It's up here. It's open. Feel free to take it at your own leisure. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the cross. We thank you for all that you did for us. And Lord, I just pray right now as we come into this time of worship that we would remember and focus on you and you alone. Thank you, God, that you are not a God who is still in the grave, but you are a God who rose again and are triumphant over the grave. And Lord, if we believe in you, then we also have been resurrected in Christ. And Lord, thank you that you do not remember our sins once we belong to Jesus. Thank you that when you see us, you see him. Lord, thank you so much for all of your blessings. And I pray that if anyone here does not know you, that tonight, if they feel the Holy Spirit tugging on them, that they would make that decision to follow you and follow you with their whole hearts. Lord, you are a good God and you made a way. You're not a God that just left us. You did not just leave us. You made a way for us to be reconciled to you. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for Jesus Christ. And we pray all this in his precious name. Amen. Free gift that he gave us. Then we can have a relationship with him. I'm reminded of the story of the two thieves on the cross, one on each side of Jesus. And I was thinking about this today. What's interesting about the two thieves is they each asked Jesus to save them. Each one of them did. The one that mocked him, he said, if you are the Christ, save, come down from the cross and save us. And the other one, known as the good thief, he recognized that he had sinned, that he deserved the punishment that he was getting. He recognized how he had gone astray, and he humbled himself before Christ. And what does Christ say to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. It's never too late to make a decision for Jesus. It's never too late to say yes to Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the sins in your past. It doesn't matter if you feel unworthy, if you feel like you have done so much wrong that you could never have a relationship with him. Because you can. And he wants you. He wants you. If you were the only one who had sinned, he would still do that. He would still do that. So if you're here tonight and you feel that tug and you feel like you want a relationship with him, I encourage you to pray to God and devote your life to him. And if that's you, I encourage you also to find one of us leaders. Find anyone you see up here on stage. Find Jim or Belinda or Henry or Larry. Find someone so that we may pray with you and talk with you. Easter. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he did and what he accomplished. And he is alive today. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, if there's anyone here that feels your tug on them, I pray that they, God, that they would just be drawn to say yes to you. And Lord, I pray that this weekend, as we go about our lives, that we would remember you and remember your sacrifice. I pray that we wouldn't just put your gospel message on a shelf, but Lord, we would carry it with us wherever we go, and we would let it shape how we interact with people, how we interact with our families, how we live our lives, God. We are called to be a gospel-minded people. Lord, thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for your son, God. This life is all about your son. And I pray we would always stay focused on him. Lord, I pray that you bless us now with your presence. I pray you bless us now with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.